Stay standing for a minute. What Kay just spoke, if you're having some trouble understanding God's goodness this morning, I want you to reach out your hand to the Lord. Say, God, I need revelation. I need revelation of your goodness. I'm open to receive revelation of your goodness. To take any hurt that you felt, that you feel like God has let you down, and I want you to put it on a fire right now. Burn it up. Any resentment, any feeling of neglect, disappointment, being let down, put it on the fire right now. Burn it up. Say, God, I want your revelation of goodness today. I want to know how good you are. Because you are good. Break off anything that's going to stifle that this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Why don't you take a seat? Thanks, music team. Praise the Lord. Can we throw some lights on, please? That's the way. So the school holidays are with us, and we can hear the noise that that brings in the church. Isn't it good? I love kids. I love little kids especially because they're innocent. Not so fussed on teenagers. No, sorry. If you're a teenager, I love you too. But God is good. God is good. And we're going to talk about God's goodness and what that means for us in the fruit of the Spirit, one segment of which is goodness. I'm not such a good guy. But we use phrases and things often with the word good in it. We use good as an adjective. But I've come to notice over the years that the goodness that I thought I had was not just not enough, it was not actually good at all. Because it came from the flesh. So here's some basic truths. Let's have a look at these. We're designed to worship. We're designed to worship, not to be worshipped. When you see someone who is being worshipped, a rock singer or a movie star, and you idolize those people, you are putting a cancer on their spirit because they're not made to receive worship. God is the only one who should receive worship. So that's a truth. So be careful when you idolize anybody. The second thing, we worship whatever it is that we spend most time thinking about. By default. Say, I worship God. How much time do you spend thinking on the things of God? That's what you worship. You worship the thing you spend most time with. It's the same with love. I can't say that I love my wife and not spend time with her. I can't say that I love my kids and not spend time with them. Where you spend your time, this is just a basic truth, where you spend your time, you worship. That's your idol. Idols. And number three, we become like the thing we worship. We become like the person we worship. You want to know how I know this? Because I wanted to be a rock star when I was a young man. And I dressed like them. I acted like them. I smoked dope like them. I drank like a fish like them. And any other sin you want to go with that kind of lifestyle, that's what I did. Because I idolized those people. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. When I come to know Jesus, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like that. And here's the great, wonderful truth. Like I said last time I preached on kindness. When Jesus had the apostles on the day of his ascension, he said, I'm going to give you another comforter, just like me. The third person of the Trinity will dwell in you to empower you to be like Jesus. That's the great truth. So the impartation of the Holy Spirit bears fruit, does it not? We talked last time about kindness. If you were here, just tell me, by the way, were you here? Were you here? Did you hear that one? We talked about Monstera Deliciosa, right? Remember that? The fruit that has many flavors. One fruit, many flavors. See, the fruit of the Spirit in the Bible is singular. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. And all these things, love, joy, peace, all the way through to goodness where we're at today. And when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it's because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, not because something we drummed up. See, change is inevitable in life. Change is inevitable. I didn't always look this good. There's people laughing. I looked a lot better. I looked a lot younger once. Change is inevitable. Externally, internally. The question is, what do you want to change into? What is it that you want to be? Not on the outside, but on the inside. Be careful what you hope for, because it will change you into what you become. And if it's not of God, you're heading in the wrong direction. Holy Spirit is what we need. Let me just stop and pray. Father God, I pray right now, revelation of your goodness, your wholeness, the completeness that we find in you, the hope that can only be found in you. I pray for your presence, your leading, your guidance. Most of all, that our relationship would be with you the most precious thing we have. I'm going to talk quickly because I was going to do this up front. I'm going to do it right now. On Friday, I'm doing this because God has this model that he's put before us as humanity. We were made to be worshipers. And this goes in a great direction, by the way. But guess what else we're made to be? Men and women, believers in Jesus, the bride of Christ. Just this last Friday, we had a wedding right here. Lewis and Caitlin, are you here? How about you stand up? Yeah. Good on you guys. Awesome. We hope and pray many, many wonderful years ahead for you guys. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. When a man and a woman join in matrimony, that's holy matrimony. That's a blessing. That's good. You want to talk about good? That's good. I got 43 years under my belt. It's good. It's good. Sometimes it's been trouble, but it's always been good because God joined us together. And what God joins together is good. Right? Psalm 23 and 6. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what is goodness? The word good is used a lot. Good luck, good clothes, good movie, good music. We throw it around like it's just a throwaway word, don't we? But the word good literally means holy, pure, and righteous in the Old Testament sense. Holy, pure, and righteous. It was referring to Him, God, holy, pure, righteous, good. If your name's Agatha here today, that's a word that came out of the Greek meaning good. So you're pretty good if your name's Agatha. But literally, goodness is godliness. Not just doing good things, but being godly. We're human beings, not human doings. For a long time, I heard the refrain from a lot of people. People are pretty good. People are mostly good. In my last ministry, for 30 years, I did a lot of travel. I've been in 40 different countries. I can tell you that people are mostly good is a lie. People are not mostly good. People learn to survive, but they're not mostly good. And the Bible actually tells us that. The Bible actually tells us that the heart of man is desperately wicked. And if it's not changed by an encounter with Jesus Christ, it remains desperately wicked. Not good. What's the opposite of good? Evil. What's evil? In the Bible, it's called sin. It's separation from what God wants. Doing it my way instead of God's way. That makes sense, doesn't it? That's why we need Jesus so desperately. Because as much as we would love to think we can be good, without Him, without the Holy Spirit, we actually cannot. Now, that's painful to hear, isn't it? What? I can be good. I've been doing good things. Sure you have. You got a little bit of residue of the image of God in you. Of course you'll do good things. But without the Holy Spirit, you cannot be godly, which is the real definition of good. I can't be godly without the Holy Spirit's indwelling. I can, you know, we have HCCO over here, which we give out food to these people every week. That's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to do. But I've been in countries where a dead body will be on the ground and people will be stepping over it. A few years ago, with a group, I went into from El Paso in Texas. We had to go across the border into Mexico. And there was a group of us from all different countries, about seven or eight of us. We're in a van. We had to go across the United States border guard crossing. And pulled out all our passports, and they're all different. And these guys thought we were a bit, what's wrong? Who are these people? And they grilled us, and they made us stand around, and they kept us waiting, and went through this process. And then we got to the place that we were heading to, and it's a little city or a town called Juarez. in Mexico. This whole town, this whole city is run by drug cartels. And it's a mess. It is the absolute product of sin. And the Mexican government has put building programs in there to try and draw people in, give them free houses. We saw 70,000 empty homes. 70,000 empty houses. Sin. Not good. Not good. Am I saying the Mexican people are not good? No. I'm saying drug cartels are wicked. But that's what the world has given over to, because they follow after another idol, which is money, power, sin, self instead of God. When we give ourselves over to God and the Holy Spirit, we allow the Holy Spirit to come in, we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, we become like the one we worship. Slowly at first, and it starts to pick up steam when we realize this is good. Jesus is good, holy, righteous. And out of me flows something that wasn't in there in the first bit, which is the presence of God, the holiness of God. It doesn't come from me. I'm not a good person without Him. Without Him, I'm just another sucker running around trying to make his own way, doing his own thing, sinning, corrupt, wicked of heart, and empty. But with God and the Holy Spirit, He fills me and gives me goodness. And out of that goodness, miracles happen. Life-changing events happen. When I first became a Christian, I was in a band. There was a bunch of guys. We were doing pretty good. We made some money and we're doing pretty good. And then I found Jesus. And my dearest friend in that band, I was his best man at his wedding. I told him about Christ and he said, "Well, I want nothing to do with it. I want nothing to do with it." 3 weeks ago, he passed away. I don't know where he was at with Jesus at the end. It's in North Queensland. And I can remember saying to him, "You're like a brother to me. But if you cannot accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I know which one I've got to choose. I've got to choose Him. I've got to choose Him. He has set me free. He has given me life, hope, power to live the life I need to live, which is good, godly." There's a lot of things we could talk about. We talk about goodness of God. Let's look at Matthew 7. It says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" See, it even says, Jesus is saying this. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more? What are we missing out on if we're not moving in the Holy Spirit, in the fruit of the Spirit? We're living like this. We just know how to give good gifts. Ephesians 5 and 9 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Wow. "Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." Listen to that. "Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's go to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 1 and 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. This is the Bible talk. I'm not saying this. I didn't make this up. I didn't write that. Thank goodness, because it would have come out all gobbledygook if I'd have written it. We pray that God himself will express his goodness in and through us. But it does depend on what we're immersed in. It does depend on what we're immersed in. Had a couple of people I led to Jesus just after I became a Christian. Good friends mixed up in the same muck that I was in. And they've stumbled all the way along because they've fought against the Holy Spirit. They've tried to have a foot in both camps. They've tried to say, well, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit, I got salvation, but I'll sit on the fence. The fence is a razor blade. You're going to do yourself some mischief there. You cannot sit on a razor blade. You have to make a choice, that side or this, for God or not. The middle ground will cause all of us to get into religious activity. We'll just make sure that we look good on the outside. We'll go to church. We'll say the right things. We won't use those naughty words anymore occasionally. We'll become all cleaned up. We'll get a haircut. Put some nice makeup on. In fact, these days, that could go for either sex. Who knows what I'm talking about there. You see, the point of the gospel is not to get us into heaven. The point of the gospel is to get heaven into us. Let me say that again. The point of the gospel is not to get us into heaven. That's a product. The point of the gospel is to get heaven into us. When we get filled with the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what happens. When we accept Jesus into our hearts and say, your way, not my way, that's exactly what happens. Heaven enters us. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what could. The fact that God himself would choose to take up residence in us. Tell me if you're not, please, is that exciting? Can I see it on your faces, please? Because right now I'm looking at people and they're looking at me like I'm speaking Dutch. And for the Dutch people in the room, Italian. Okay. I happen to be half Italian, so I can make that joke, all right? So God has ordained that heaven himself. What is heaven? The presence of God. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if there's no God there. That's not heaven anymore. You can have a billion angels running around up there. That doesn't make it heaven. You can have the stars and the galaxies screaming and shining, but if God's not there, that's not heaven. Heaven is the presence of God. That's what we will have eternally. The presence of God. We have it. Guess what? Eternally now. And there's a term theologians use which is called the present continuous. So we talk about the past, the present, and the future. Theologians talk about the present continuous, the now, but not yet. The now, but not yet fully completed. But you got it all, but it's still, it's this tension, this paradox, if you like. We have heaven in us in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We have it. It's ours. But not yet in fullness. That's why I'm pretty excited about the fullness bit. Right? So Mark 10 says, as Jesus started on his way. Now this is going to be a little bit of a long section here, but I need you to bear with me with it. Jesus started on his way. A man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. That's an act of worship right there. And he says this, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And here's this incredible response from Jesus. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. That's Jesus saying that. Now, a lot of people have said over the years, well, that's Jesus telling us that he's actually not God. That's Jesus telling us. No, that's Jesus saying, if you're calling me good and you're a Jewish person, you know that only God is good. So if you're calling me good, me and him, we're the same. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, seen the Father. He made no bones about it. But of course, this young man's on his knees. And he goes on, he says, well, you know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Now that's some religious boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around it and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Let's move on to verse 24. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said it again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Because as much as we might think that they were poor fishermen, they had businesses, right? Who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Then Peter spoke up, we have left everything to follow you. Now let's just firstly, before we go on with the scripture, Jesus was saying to that young man, you need to empty yourself of what you want. That's what he was saying. See, we're in a sense, we're sitting around here in Australia, 2022. You might say, well, I'm not that well off. I'm telling you, if you're living in Australia, you won life's lottery to start with, day one. I've been around the world. I can tell you, as bad as it gets here, this is something else. That's why everybody's trying to get over here. This is something else. Compared to the rest of the world, this is something else. We're doing good. Now, that doesn't mean it's great for you right now. I'm sure there's people in the room right now going or listening to this. Later on online, they'll be thinking, well, it's not so great for me right now. I tell you what, the safety nets that this country's got, the legal system, as broken as it can be sometimes, the education system, as poor as it might be sometimes, the health system, as weak as it might feel sometimes. We worry about ambulance ramping. Go to a country where they don't even know what the word ambulance means. I'm telling you, just get that into context a little. And he's saying to this young man, empty yourself of those things that distract you from God. Because when you start thinking about God more and spending more time thinking about God, you start to look more and more like the thing you worship. You start to become that. And he goes on to say further, he says, truly I tell you, Jesus said, no one, so here's the good side, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, okay, and in the age to come, eternal life. Pretty good deal as far as I'm concerned. Pretty good deal. And you know what kind of persecutions you might face in this country? Someone scoffs at you. Someone laughs at you. Someone mocks you. Someone doesn't want to be your friend anymore. Someone disses you on Twitter. Get rid of that stuff off your phone, by the way. That's junk right there. Jesus clearly teaches that he will supply all our needs completely if we surrender to him. So we learn that being good, the truest sense, is being surrendered to God, being filled with his Holy Spirit, letting go of the things that we want to do and letting him do what he wants to do in us. I told you about Juarez. I have a friend, and the reason I went to Juarez with these other men, it's because my friend is a pastor there. He's actually Guatemalan, but he married a Mexican woman. She's a psychologist, highly trained. They were on their knees one day. They were living in Mexico City. They were pastoring a church there. God said, I want you to go to Juarez. He said, anybody else up there want to tell me something? Because that doesn't sound like you, God. God said, I want you to go to Juarez. They got, at that point, 2 little children. This is a drug capital of Mexico. This is where they take the drugs across the border into America, basically. And everybody you see, he was with us, he was, as we were driving around, he said, see those guys over there? They work for the cartel. We went to the store. He said, that store is owned by the cartel. And there was a Youth for Christ Center set up. They had this land that they'd set up a Youth for Christ Center, a drop-in center for kids that would come in and they'd minister to them. And they were running drug rehab programs and a bunch of other stuff. It was right across the road from the penitentiary where the walls were like 30 foot high, barbed wire and razor. This huge, big... Sometimes the first thing that an ex-con would see as he came out was the Youth for Christ Center. And my friend had been threatened with violence against himself, his wife, and his babies. And he stayed there. Because the fruit of the Spirit gave him godliness, goodness. I wouldn't ask anybody to live in that place. I wouldn't ask my worst enemy to live in that place. It had the highest murder rate in the world when we were there, per capita. Death was on every corner. And God called my friend and his wife and their two little kids to that place. And because he was filled with the Spirit, with godliness, goodness, he could say, yes, I'll go. He's still there. He's been there now 13 years. And they're winning souls. God is good. Holy Spirit is God. If he lives in here, we can have that kind of godliness, that kind of goodness. And we should be walking in it. And when I relay these stories, and this is just one of 100 that I could tell you, of things that I've seen and places I've been where God has transformed lives radically and is still doing that. And I think of how much do I rely on God to allow that transformation to take place in me over my life. Because when you live in a country like this where persecution doesn't exist, what's in us in terms of goodness only can come out at the level it's oppressed. See, what comes out of us is a sign of who we are. And when we're under pressure, what comes out of you? What comes out of me? When I'm under pressure, what comes out? That'll tell me what's in there. It's like squashing a bug. What comes out? You know what's inside. So goodness is expressed by these three things. And I want you to take note. These same three quotes, biblical quotes, I used up front. Isaiah 43, Exodus 20, Romans 12. By worshiping God in prayer, study of his word and devotion. That's how goodness is expressed in us. It's a response to God's goodness in us. By emptying ourselves of distracting personal agendas and desires. Get rid of the idols. Get rid of the things that waste your time. Waste your time. Waste my time. Waste. Do you know the most precious thing you've ever been given? Time. It's the most precious gift you have. And let me tell you, you get these gray hairs coming out here. You start to realize that that little hourglass starts speeding up. It runs out pretty darn quick. But it's the most precious thing we've got, because this is the moments that we can use to get close to God, to become more Christ-like, so that we can affect the world for his kingdom. That's his agenda. That's my agenda. It's our agenda as a church. And it has to be like that. And number three, goodness is expressed by surrender to God's leading by his Holy Spirit and his word. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. The pattern of this world. I heard a great preacher say, we cannot live the Jesus life unless Jesus is alive in us. It's impossible. Goodness in the Holy Spirit can only come out if we allow Jesus the space in here to lead and guide and direct. I'm going to finish. We've got an early finish. How about that? We'll have some prayer time. I got thinking about this, and I want to show this graphically. This is just three or four short graphics. It's just to show you what the whole goodness me arrangement really is. So we go to the first one. Thanks, Axel. If I put the me in God's goodness, if I surrender myself and immerse myself in goodness, that's getting saved. That's saying to God, I can't do it. I need you. God is goodness. What happens is once I surrender myself to goodness, next slide, please. I expand. I grow bigger in the Lord. I grow bigger in God. I grow up in God. I mature in Christ. I become more like that thing I worship, which is God. And then lastly, the goodness in me overflows because he puts his Holy Spirit in me to overflow that goodness. The fruit of the Spirit is the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord is life. Life produces fruit. I want God's fruit. One of these days, perhaps, I'll be like my dad was, 93 years old, lying on a deathbed, saying to the doctors as they came in the door, come over here, let me talk to you for a minute. Give me your hand. And grab the doctor's hand and pull him in. Say, do you know Jesus yet? I want to be that man. That was my dad. I want to be the man that's still praising the Lord when he knows he's only got hours. Because he knows where he's going. But he wants to take others with him. He wants to take them with him. Eternity's a long time. This life's very short. Let's make a decision today. Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's be filled with his presence. Let's be overflowing with the fruit. Let's close our eyes. Jesus, you're all we need. The world tells us that we need all kinds of stuff that never leads us to anywhere happy and only lasts a little while anyhow when it does. Then we're looking for something else to fill up that space. But you have come that we might have life abundantly, overflowing. We surrender to you this morning. Those bits of us, Lord, that are hanging on to the world and refusing to release, Lord, we just relinquish our grip and we grasp hold of you, both hands, and we're holding on tight. We surrender. We want all of you, more of you. Everything you've got for us, we want that. And even if there is a little bit of persecution involved in there, or a lot, we think this is a good trade. Our bucket of filth for your glory. That's a good trade. And we accept it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God, you're so good. Let's stand and sing.